Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Week. I'm okay. I'm all right. Living life. This week, I'm very pleased to say that we've got a chat with the lovely Sarah Jane Mee, who's a Sky TV presenter. She does the news. She does sports as well. She used to do sports. I don't know if she still does sports. That's bad, isn't it? I can't remember. So, well, you'll hear all about it in the podcast. We went to school together, secondary school together. And I had no idea, because I've never had Sky, so I had no idea that she was on the TV. The last I saw was her popping up on Top of the Pops when we were about 16. She jumped in the shot with the presenter. And then years later, there's some viral news video clip went round from Sky, and Sarah Jane was one of the presenters. And I was like, what's she doing on the telly? So, yeah. But she's lovely, and I hope you enjoy this chat. I had a great time because it was so nice catching up with her, because she's such a lovely girl and we haven't seen each other for years and years and years. And her baby is literally the cutest thing. If you don't follow her on social media, I would highly recommend doing so, because if you like looking at cute babies, it just makes you feel all warm. Well, it makes me feel all warm and fuzzy when I see her, because it's so lovely and I'm so happy for her as well. So, yeah. I've got to stop saying, and yeah. Oh, God. But enjoy, and I'll see you in a bit. Work.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey. But not that we were in time then at all, were we?
No, but it's fine. It just gives me an idea.
It just makes us sound professional at the start of the
exactly,
podcast.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, it's a bit of an icebreaker as well, because, you know, once we ask people to clap, they think, okay, these are a bunch of idiots, basically. Yeah. So that's fine.
I thought you knew what you were doing. The next bit would be to ask me what I had for breakfast to check sound levels.
No, don't. No, because you'll probably forget.
Oh, is that what you do?
Oh, was it?
Yeah, you probably would Can you remember?
You'd be amazed. Most people go, I don't know. But it's just to get them to say a few words. So by the time I said, I can't remember, let's just say Frosties.
I mean, who's Frosties? Sarah, it's got the 80s. Want you to say hello to Lola.
Hi, Lola.
This is my friend Sarah, who I went to school with. Who
can we see your face, at least?
Yeah, show her your face. Because she's 10 now. Can you believe she's 10?
Oh, my God.
So happy birthday.
You since a baby online.
Yeah. And but obviously we've never met. And wow. I met your mum when we were about 11, so around about your age.
What? I can't hear. Oh, she can't hear.
Oh! She's surrounded by really clever, responsible adults.
We met when we were 11, because we went to senior school together.
Wow.
She's really impressed.
Wow. She doesn't give a flying fuck.
She's like...
Go on, she doesn't care.
Wow, how intelligent are you?
Yeah,
wow.
She's got a point. We're all talking to her. She couldn't hear us.
Yeah, no.
Wow.
Go away, shut the door, please.
No, go away.
She was 10 on Wednesday.
Oh, my God.
Could you believe it? That's how quick it goes.
I mean, I've literally just got around to having one. I'll be, God, yeah, when she's 10, I'll be 53.
Don't think about that.
Yeah, won't think about that.
You're fine.
Don't think about that. So, we are joined today. Oh, I'm so excited.
She'll get high-pitched again.
Yeah. By the lovely Sarah Jane Mee, Sky News broadcaster.
Anchorman.
I like Anchorman.
I mean, that is my inspiration, obviously.
Yeah, obviously. So me and Sarah, as you probably guessed, went to school together many years ago. Yes. Grace Convent.
We certainly did. Good place, Convent Girls.
You both went to a convent school.
Yep.
Yeah, can't convent you tell? Girls. The halos are still there.
Yeah.
It's a good job it's a podcast so people can't see we're lying.
Yeah. Do you remember any of the rituals from convent school? Because I didn't go to a convent school. But, because somebody was saying to me this morning how their daughter's learning something, I don't know, really very Catholic. And I was like, wow, that just sounds so impressive.
I remember we had Mass twice a day, didn't we? And the second Mass of the day was always... optional, so not Roman many people numerals. Would go, so the teachers would come and find us in the playground and try and round us up and make us go. We had assembly every morning, hymn practice, RE, obviously. A lot of RE, one of our favourite days.
Did you learn any other religions apart from the Catholic religion?
I think we touched on it, didn't we? I don't remember it doing it in depth.
I don't remember, because the girls, obviously, they do, they learn about everything, which is wonderful. I don't remember learning about anything else in RE.
I remember the Gospel of Mark, that little orange Gospel of Mark book that we probably studied for like a whole term. Loads of pencil marks in it, loads of graffiti at the front. I mean, typical convent girls. I don't know why I remember it. It was just that little orange gospel book that was everywhere. Like, I feel like I carried it around in my school bag forever.
Did you have Mr. Cassidy for RE?
Yes.
Did we all have Mr. Cassidy?
We had Mr. Cassidy, and he was the one who, I thought it was really weird at the time, and then it was such a throwback about 2 years ago when I found myself doing it. He always used to have, and as a schoolgirl, you found it really weird, warm water with a slice of lemon in a teacup with a saucer. And a couple of years ago, I started doing it because I'd obviously seen on the internet that it was good for you. And I thought, oh my God, that takes me back. We always used to take the mickey out of him for drinking hot water with a slice of lemon.
And now you're doing it. Where did you go and meet boys and things like that? Were you quite naughty, the pair of you?
Do you know what?
No.
We weren't at all, were we?
Weren't you?
I mean, I'll talk for myself. I'm not going to talk for Amy. No. I think we were quite sheltered. We weren't near a boys' school, were we? So it's not like you had the opportunity at break time or after school to interact with any boys. The convent school was quite well placed down a leafy avenue in Blaise, well hidden away from any boys. So no, we didn't.
It was very strict as well.
I
was very scared of all the teachers. Like, you didn't muck around.
It was everything you imagine a convent school to be, in terms of we had knee-high white socks, didn't we? And we weren't allowed to have them round our ankles. They had to be up by our knee. we would always, always on the bus to school roll our skirts up because we had these horrible blue A-line skirts.
That's
and we'd roll them up at the waistband to put them above the knee. And all the teachers as you go in would be like, Sarah, me, Amy Borman, pull those skirts down. It's like, oh dear. Yeah, all of that. Oh my God.
So what age was that then? Was that like sort of...
11 to 16.
Oh God,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so we were friends more in the first year, and I remember coming to your house and watching a Freddy Krueger film in your kitchen. That's my biggest memory of you.
And
you
know what?
Your house in Raynham.
That wasn't even me. That was my younger sister, who is 3.5 years younger than me, loved a horror film. Just loved it. I mean, I don't even think she was at the convent school at the time. I think she was at primary school. I mean, she's so hardy. Yeah.
Wow.
I think it scared me and Amy. My little sister was fine. Gave us nightmares. I remember your lovely mum and dad. Oh, my God. Your mum and dad were so lovely. I remember, now, correct me if I'm wrong, did you have a fish pond in your hallway? Or like a waterfall or a water feature or something like that?
We had a courtyard in the middle of the house with like a fountain.
I remember it being the fanciest thing I'd ever seen. And just going home and going to my mum, Amy's got a fountain in her house. And my mum's like, what are you on about?
It was a really beautiful house.
It was gorgeous.
It was in Basildon. So it does sound really fancy. And it was very fancy, but you know.
I mean, having a courtyard in your house with a water feature.
I was going to say,
wherever it was. It's a lovely house.
I remember that, and I always remember you singing.
Oh.
And you had such a great... Honestly, Amy was so talented, and she always one of the kindest. But you were really shy at school as well. But you were one of the kindest girls at school. And we know how mean girls can be when they all get together. But Amy was one of the kindest girls you'll ever meet. I always remember that. So, yeah, that's my top three... things I remember from however many decades ago.
Far too many decades ago.
So when you were at school then, so you sort of knew each other in the first year, and then did you sort of form another friendship group and when did you meet Nicole?
I got moved out of the class.
Yeah, because we were in the same form class in the beginning.
We were in the second year. I got moved because I got caught smoking on the school bus with Carla Bartlett.
I was about to say Carla Bartlett. You were really tight with her, but I didn't know if we were allowed to name other people.
So she's come from
name and shame.
Amy Bullman.
It wasn't me, it was her. I was a very good girl. I grassed everyone up. And then I got moved into a different class, and then we kind of made other friendship groups. It was really nice. There were like four forms, and everyone was pretty much friends, weren't they, really? We all interacted with each other.
Because everybody always used to say convent school, it must have been so bitchy. But it's rose-tinted glasses or whatever, but I really don't think it was. Loved school, which makes me sound like a complete swat. But I loved it. I loved going to school every day. Although I lived in Raynham and the school was in Grays, so getting up out of bed and on the school bus, the amount of times my poor mum had to drive us in the car to chase the school bus down the A13. Try and catch it at the next stop. Oh my God, I won't even repeat what she said.
We both went to college together.
Went
to Palmer's, but then we weren't really friends at Palmer's.
We did different subjects, didn't we?
Yeah, I was in all the drama lot.
Smoking.
You were with all the jocks.
Sniffing
in
glue.
The canteen.
Yeah, but I always
what
used
did
to.
What did you do?
I did.
At college.
I did French, English, and media studies.
Okay.
We were always in the canteen a lot. And I always remember everyone going to the D&P, the Dog and Partridge at lunchtime, the pub. I go to the library. What an absolute I'd love to say that I nicked off to the pub as well and had a smoke, but I actually took my studies quite seriously.
good for me.
I didn't really know, but then I was watching Top of the Pops one night when I was at home, and it was towards the end when the presenter was saying goodbye, and all of a sudden the camera. And I was like,
I think,
oh my God,
actually, having said that, would anybody ever ask me in an interview, when was your first time on screen? I mean, that was it, actually. There's me saying regional news. Yeah. My first TV appearance was Top of the Pops. And,
when you were about 16.
Who was number one at the time? Was it Two Unlimited?
Oh, God.
No, 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 no. Yeah, it was that. Possibly. We bounced around the studio to that.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God, that was my first appearance on TV.
So then how did you get from jumping out behind the presenter on Top of the Pops to having your own show on Sky News?
Well, they obviously thought she's got no discernible singing or dancing talent. I'll leave that to you, Amy. After Palmer's College doing A-levels, I went to Manchester University. I studied English there. And then I did a master's in public relations and government affairs. I mean, what a swat. And
oh, wow.
I ended up doing work experience. I got work experience in a regional newsroom and just loved it from the second I walked through the door. A friend of mine who was doing work experience there said, you'll love it. No day's the same. They're all really good fun. They go to the pub afterwards. Like, you get to go out with the reporters and stuff. It's a really good laugh. So in I went. I mean, she is now working in pharmaceuticals. She's got nothing to do with media.
Wow.
But
I'll
always thank her for giving me a nudge and going and doing it. And so I did lots of work experience, and then I had my first job at Sky Sports News because I was looking for my first paid job in TV, because that's the thing when you first start out.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure the music industry is the same. Like, so many industries are the same. I think it's changing now, thank goodness. But
if it's a job that everyone wants, you're not going to get paid.
Like, oh, and I was so fortunate to be living in London. My parents are in Essex, so like half an hour on the train. So I was so fortunate enough to, location-wise, be able to get to these places to do work experience. I think I did like Nickelodeon, ITN Studios. And my parents were good enough to sort of, you know, I was still living at home and stuff like that. So I did lots of work experience. Then eventually got a job at Sky Sports News because I needed a paid job, like I said. And that's the first one that came up that had a decent enough salary. And I just happened to like sport. So I got that job and then just progressed from there, did lots of sport and news as well, because I really like my current affairs. Yeah. So, yeah, and then I went from Sky to regional TV for ITV because I wanted to get out and cut my teeth as a reporter. So lots of, you know, dancing dog shows in Derby and, you know, going to the Britannia Stadium to watch Stoke against whoever, and that is the coldest stadium on earth. So going there for the Christmas fixtures, I mean, if you didn't like your sport, you'd soon be out the door because it's so cold there. It's like the coldest stadium on earth. And then eventually went back to Sky as a presenter. So, yeah, that's it in a nutshell, really.
Yeah.
Just sort of climbing my way up the ladder. Like, I've been everything from a runner to producer, junior reporter, and then eventually a presenter.
Where did your love of sport come from? Is that your family or?
Yeah, so my family split between West Ham and Tottenham.
Okay.
Oi.
So yeah, but I went Tottenham.
Okay.
So from there, really, and just, you know, oh God, I remember. Do you remember Mariana Carcalezzo or Mariana Corbett, as she was now? Yeah, we're still really good friends.
She's been to see me in South Woodford.
That's a very, very elaborate name.
Yeah. Greek Cypriot. She went from Carcalezzo to Corbett, which, funnily enough, a lot more people could spell correctly. Although it's two T's, not one, as she likes to point out. But I remember, you know, every summer, because it's not on every summer, but over the summer we would watch the Olympics in Barcelona and things like that. We just loved it. We lapped all of that up. And just through that, really. I was never particularly sporty at school, though, which is a bit weird. I remember my my sport of choice was discus.
Oh,
weird.
Really?
Yeah. Oh. But at school, they didn't give us, you know, in discus, you throw inside a cage.
Yeah.
I don't think the convent could afford one. So I was really good at discus until I competed for the school against other schools and was put in a cage, and the discus didn't even make it out of the cage. It's like that. I think we need to do a fundraiser for a cage. I was never particularly sporty at school. Obviously, netball. Why is it netball was compulsory? I mean, I do like netball, but I was just rubbish at it.
Mm.
I didn't have sharp enough elbows or long enough nails.
I'm 5'4".
No. We did hockey and rugby. But I'm worth in Wales, so like.
Oh,
you know,
right, yeah.
Does everyone have to learn how to play rugby in Wales?
Yeah.
I think that's the deal.
Totally.
I think that is the deal.
Yeah, you have to push that thing, the scrum thing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and hockey was like the biggest thing.
We didn't have hockey at our school, did we, Amy?
We did rounders and netball.
Rounders, there
love
you go.
Rounders.
Actually, you say I didn't have a sport. Rounders, I think that was my niche. But that's not professional.
They're very stereotypical girly things, though, aren't they? Well, yeah. You know what I mean?
You take
girls.
A swing at the ball. If you missed it, you'd run anyway. Just run as fast as you could.
Exactly. All the girls have to play netball. God, it was boring.
Yeah, it was
God,
very much
boring.
We didn't have football or anything like that. It wasn't a very
no. We didn't have
school.
That. We didn't have
maybe
that.
Maybe they do now.
Oh yes.
Yeah, I would imagine so.
I would imagine it's moved with the times a bit. Oh, actually, we had tennis. We had tennis at the college. Do you remember? Those? Because there was an actual convent behind the school.
Yeah.
And the only reason we were allowed to go over there was because they had two tennis courts. So every now and again, we'd have a tennis lesson. And I've only remembered that because where we live at the moment, there's a local park opposite. And do you remember during the last lockdown, one of the only things open was a tennis court?
Yeah.
So you could book it through the local council and we went over. And I just said to my mum and dad, I don't suppose you've got my old school tennis racket. And of course, my mum and dad keep everything.
Yeah.
And they dropped it over. So that's the only reason why we had tennis lessons. Unsurprisingly, the racket was in mint condition.
Yeah.
Was it wooden?
Yeah, wooden in one of those square wooden cases. Not that,
yeah.
Not that bloody old.
Oh, I'm joking. We're about the same age, aren't we? I might be older than you, actually.
Oh, I don't even remember now. It got past 40 and I've stopped counting.
Oh, that's totally. Best to do. And you've got a baby, haven't you?
Yeah.
Little Ray. She is, she's 8 months this month.
Wow.
She's not 8 months.
I know. Everybody said to me, I mean, it's such a cliche, but it's a cliche because obviously it's true, that it goes so quickly. It goes really fast. And those first 3 months did not go quickly. I mean, I couldn't remember my name. I don't know if I brushed my hair. Yeah. I don't remember the first 3 months of her life. I was so tired. But after that, it's gone really quickly. So, yeah, I've got an 8-month-old. Crazy.
Because obviously, we haven't seen each other, but we follow each other on social media, don't you? So you feel like you know. And I knew that you wanted to have babies. And then all of a sudden, you're having a baby. And I was so happy.
A little baby popped up on Instagram. Yeah, there she is.
Like, oh, I just got a baby.
Yeah.
So how was it being pregnant during... Because when did you get pregnant then?
So I was pregnant the latter end of 2019. So I think we found out October, something like that.
Okay.
And I had this is the Christmas before COVID got big.
Yeah.
This was, you know, Christmas 2019. I found out I was pregnant, announced it to the world, got engaged to my dream man. It's like 2020. This is going to be a blast. And then obviously working at Sky News, we were following the COVID story. I mean, it just got bigger and bigger, but even we didn't realise how big it was going to get.
Yeah.
And I remember leaving the studio it was a Monday, and it was the first of those briefings from Downing Street by Boris Johnson. And I remember watching it at home with Ben on the sofa, and obviously they started bringing in the lockdown rules and people had to shield and pregnant women, because they didn't know how COVID affected pregnant women. Pregnant women had to shield. So I literally went home from work one afternoon and went, see you all tomorrow, and then just didn't go back. I haven't been at work I haven't been in the studio for nearly a year.
Wow.
So, I mean, I still had about 4 months of my maternity to go. So it was just really weird. I just never went back to work. It was so odd. So odd. Just a really weird time.
So were you working from home?
Yeah. So, like I said, I still had 4 months of my maternity to go. Lockdown had come in. And my boss actually called me that night. And she said, obviously, you've seen the briefing. You can't come in tomorrow. And she said, let's give it a beat. We'll talk tomorrow over the next few days about what to do. So we came up with a plan for me working from home. So two of our lovely cameramen turned up at my door, basically in hazmat suits, because obviously it had gone big overnight. Do you know what I mean? It really did seem like there was a tipping point in COVID where one day it was like, the death numbers are creeping up. The next day it was like masks everywhere. You know, suddenly people started taking it seriously. So our cameramen tipped up with like a camera tripod, camera, iPads, screens, microphones, and meticulously, I mean, they were there for about 2 hours, bless them, anti-backing everything before it came into my house. Aww. So then this kit came in and I started broadcasting from home, and part of me thinks I should have taken maternity leave earlier, because the stress of working from home is one thing. Yeah. Broadcasting from home another. Yeah. When you think you've got fairly decent Wi-Fi, you know, you can send a tweet from your sofa, you can watch Netflix. It might take a little while for that video to download that you want to watch or whatever. But trying to broadcast globally from your front room, from a piece of kit with, well, just average Wi-Fi. The stress. I really thought it was going to send me into early labour. Like, I had 5 minutes before I'd be going on air. My producer would be ringing me, go, we can't see you. Your mic's not working. This is... And honestly, I just felt like I was going to go to labour every time I went on air. So we did a lot of that. And I also did a podcast for Sky News as well. So we did it how we're doing this now, which is essentially over Zoom and also recording it. And again, technical issues with that. I mean, you know, I feel for everybody working from home right now, because it is so stressful. What I wouldn't have given to be able to... I took it for granted to be able to walk into a studio, have a floor manager that would set up all your computer for you and make sure the printer was working. You know, have camera operators, people in the gallery.
Yeah.
Ben, my fiance, and I were joking. He was basically my tech support. He was trying to run a business from the room upstairs, and I would come bursting in going, I can't plug this in and this won't work. And he'd be like, oh my God, this is going to send, you know, this is going to send me over the edge, never mind you. So he was my tech support for all my broadcasts. But you just took it for granted going into a studio and everybody doing all those techie roles.
Yeah.
You only notice when they go wrong. When somebody's across them and doing a brilliant job and are trained in all those technical roles, you take it for granted. And I will never take them for granted again. I will also never take hair and makeup for granted again.
No. So what's going to
happen? Oh, my word.
What's going to happen then when you go back? You'll have...
I mean, I'm putting it off for as long as possible until hairdressers are open.
And I've got feral. Your husband, your partner working from home, you'll be broadcasting from home and you'll have a 1-year-old.
Well, do you know what? Actually, because I'm not in the shielding category anymore, I can go to work. So I can go into a studio.
Oh, okay.
So I'll be really lucky when I return to work. But I'll have some sense of normality.
And nurseries are open as well.
Open. We've got grandma as well, who'll be in our childcare bubble. So, you know, we're in a great position. We're really good. And my wonderful stepson Teddy is with us every other week. So I feel your homeschooling pain. We do that every other week. It's just like that week is like peak stress in our house.
Yeah.
How old is he? 10?
He's 7. He's 7.
Oh, same age.
Okay, so same age as I.
Same age as ours.
I mean, because I'm looking after the baby, Ben's trying to run 3 or 4 businesses, Ted's homeschooling. We have his timetable in the morning. We say to Ted, look, right, you've got this at 9, and then you've got a worksheet to do, then you can have a break, da 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 da. And all of a sudden, I'll be in the kitchen, like preparing a snack for later or looking after Ray, and he'll appear next to me, and I'll go, Ted, what are you doing? It's 10 o'clock, you've got a lesson. He's like, oh, and runs upstairs.
Yeah.
Boys, their attention span is...
Oh, God.
And if I walk into a room while he's doing his lesson, he'll suddenly swivel round on his chair.
That's it.
Hi, SJ. Or he'll come and kiss the baby. I'm like, Ted, you wouldn't do that in class. But he is, bless him, he's so good. He's so good. Because it must be so weird just... sitting in front of a computer all day for a 7-year-old boy who's used to interacting with his mates.
Also you can't get them to really understand, like, because I go, right, Idris, I can't do the work for you. You've got to do it yourself, love. You've got to try. And he'll go, yeah, but mum, there's 27 animals, and if there's 13 that are taken away, I don't know the answer. I'm going, oh, fucking don't know what answer either. And you're like, trying to work out how to say it in another way. So let's take it away. And you're like half an hour in, and you're going like, oh, fucking, I can't fucking do maths with him. I'm not fucking doing any maths.
Fortunately, Ben takes on all the maths, and Ted is really good at maths. That's like his specialty, whereas I come into my own with the English and the writing and stuff. But what I've noticed is schools start doing recently is actually, it's very clever, because obviously they have to adapt things that you can do in the home, is go to the kitchen cupboard and get. So the other day it was go to the kitchen cupboard and get. They were doing geography and learning about where food comes from, whether it comes from a plant or an animal, and part of the world. So it's like, go to your cupboard, get six items, label if it's from a plant or an animal and what country it's from. Yeah. Oh my God, he had things out the freezer, out the fridge. He got his little steps, it was in the cupboard. So I came down and I was like, oh my God, all this stuff's defrosting. The freezer's open.
Yeah.
And embarrassingly, I mean, I don't know who was pregnant, me or Ben, but for some reason there was a jar of pickled eggs in the cupboard.
Oh.
And he got the pickled eggs out of the cupboard and he was like,
I found this on the web.
Oh, did you hear that? I found this on the web. I shot pickled eggs and suddenly my phone Googles it. So he found these pickled eggs and we had this whole, oh, it's in the cupboard, but is it from an animal? And, you know, it was just, oh my God. Like, and he had to label it all and send it to school. And it's so embarrassing what he pulled out of our cupboard. Pickled eggs. I think it was sausage rolls, crunchy nut cornflakes. I was like, oh my word.
Oh my God.
What do they think we're feeding him?
Yeah, your school will be knocking at the door, okay? We need to have a healthy eating plan for Ted. Yeah.
And I think the fish he pulled out of the freezer was covered in breadcrumbs.
Oh, well.
Oh, it's all right.
Yeah.
Did Ben go to any scans with you in the beginning? Did you kind of get any stuff in before?
Yeah, we got a couple of the early ones in before Christmas. So when I first fell pregnant, we went for a private scan. Because we just wanted to see. I mean, looking back at it now, it looks like a coffee bean. You know, you can't equate it to the bouncing 8-month-old we've got now. But we were so excited and we went for a private scan. And then he came to my first NHS scan with me. And then I think there was one he couldn't do, so my mum came with me to that one. So I had people with me for three scans, and then all the ones after that the one with my mum was New Year, but the ones after that I had to go on my own. And because I was of a certain age, they wanted me to go for more scans, and I had to go into hospital every now and again for fetal heart monitoring. And that was right at the height of the pandemic. So I had to go into Guy's and St Thomas's on my own, which was scary because one night we had a bit of a scare and it was the dead of night. Nobody's at Guy's and St Thomas's because it's a pandemic. So it's, you know, there's nobody in the hospital. So it's really eerie walking into somewhere that would normally be buzzing full of hundreds and thousands of people. So that was all a bit scary, having to go in and do all that on your own. And then the actual labour itself, Ben wasn't allowed in until I was in active labour. Which, you know, you think you can manage until I actually went into Guy's and St Thomas's for 5 days. We call it my little holiday. We call it my little holiday at Guy's and St Thomas's. But it was really hot as well over the summer. So when it was the first 2 or 3 days and I could move about, I'd go down to the gardens by the River Thames, actually quite scenic, quite lovely. And he'd meet me there for a drink or whatever. Like on the last day, he was really romantic and bought me a Domino's.
Aww.
Really fancied a Texas barbecue chicken pizza. And he delivered. And then we got to the business end of things, and I didn't see him for about 3 days while I was in labour because I had to be induced. And without getting too graphic, that's all very messy. I didn't want to get induced because I just thought, if my body's ready, my body's ready. And my body was not ready, and I knew that, but I had to agree to be induced because I had preeclampsia. And as soon as they start saying, look, this is safest for the baby, you just think, right, well, I don't care what my birth plan is. Let's just go with what you're telling me is the safest. So I got all the way through that at the end of the 5 days and had a cesarean.
Oh.
And honestly, I can laugh about it now, but at the same time, I had loads of friends who were having babies pretty much within that 2-week window. And they had either planned cesareans or were in hospital for a couple of days and then had a cesarean. Obviously, I was in there for 5 days and then had a cesarean. So they're all posting these pictures on social media of them looking amazing. Because obviously, if you have a C-section, you don't break into a sweat. It's, you know, you go in, play some lovely music, your hair's all done, a bit of mascara, just a little bit of mascara because you're not meant to wear makeup. And you're handed this baby and there's this beautiful picture. I've been in Guy's and St Thomas's for 5 days. It's the height of summer. Like, for the last 3 days, I don't think I've had a shower. I don't know where my hair was last washed. So those pictures are never, ever seeing the light of day. There's no filter in the world that can fix it. I mean, I look at it now and I'm like, obviously I look at Ray and then I look at my face and go, oh, the poor thing. That was the first thing she saw when she came into the world. Oh, gosh. I was so
exhausted.
I'm sure
it's not that bad. So,
and I couldn't keep my eyes open either because I was so tired. I hadn't slept for 3 days. And Ben kept slapping me on the cheek going, she's coming out. I was like, oh, I can't, I'm so tired. Yeah. Little did I know what real tiredness was, like a few weeks later. Oh, dear. Oh,
I don't think anyone's birth goes with their birth plan.
No.
Do you know what I mean? I don't think anyone, everyone's got this ideal. I think you're very, very lucky if it does, you know.
Mine went from one extreme to the other. Because of the pandemic, I was getting really paranoid about going into a hospital.
Yeah.
So totally. I said, I'm having a home birth. Yeah. I'm having twinkly lights. I'm having candles. Yeah. We bought a birthing pool. We bought a lot.
Yeah.
And then I got preeclampsia and they were like, you've got to go into hospital.
Yeah, that's what happened to me.
So is that why you went in?
Yeah.
That's why you were in there for the...
Yeah.
So did you find out just before?
Yeah, so gradually throughout the pregnancy, my sort of protein levels were creeping up and up and up. Like, my blood pressure was fine, but it was just my protein levels. And then literally, I mean, Ray only came a week earlier than her due date. So, we did really well, but it was because I was monitored so frequently. And it just got to the stage they went, it's creeping up, it's only going to go one way. So you have to go into hospital. So they planned to... induce me, yeah. So in I went and went through all of that.
And was Ray
procedures?
Was Ray okay afterwards? Because I had preeclampsia.
Yeah, you went in and had to stay in for like 2 weeks.
Oh
or
God,
something,
three. Yeah, 2 to 3 weeks. I was there for ages.
Really?
I was like, everybody was going into labour, and I was still sat there.
Yeah, that's what I was like on the ward. Yeah. Every morning they pull the curtains back. And the woman opposite you had gone.
Done.
It was me and this other lovely lady who I think was called Millie next to me on the left. And we were there. We were like, we have got this. This is our ward. You know, we're the sort of seasoned pros on this ward. But every morning you wake up and two women had gone. And you just
totally
like, when's
really
it
weird.
My turn?
But actually, I went back when I gave birth. Then I nearly had a heart attack and then I had to go back again. I was like, this is just fucking ridiculous.
Really?
And
I was fine.
Myself.
I was out the next day.
Oh,
I was so determined
really?
To get out of that hospital. Yeah. So determined to get out of the hospital. I mean, don't get me wrong,
good.
Staff were amazing, but I was sick of being in hospital, in a hospital gown, on an uncomfortable bed. It was so hot in there. I can't even describe it to you. So I literally made it my business because Ben had to go an hour after the birth, that you're only allowed to stay for an hour. So it must have been about 5 a.m. by the time he left. I was exhausted, had this baby. I was like, I'm going to be out of here within 24 hours. So obviously C-section, you're not meant to move, but... You've got to, because this baby's crying and you've got to get to it. So I perfected the bum shuffle. It's amazing what new moves you can come up with when your stomach muscles don't work anymore. I had amazing guns and like a really flat bum where I just shuffled on it all the time. But yeah, I was out within 24 hours because I just thought, I just want to go home with this baby. I cannot stay on a ward anymore.
Yeah.
And I think because of the pandemic and COVID, they were like,
they just
fine, you're walking
out.
About. I was literally walking past the nurse's station on repeat going, look at me, I can walk, I'm fine. Oh.
So how much did she weigh?
Gosh, I should know this. £8.6.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, £8.6.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Oh, I might have to check that. £8.6.
I love the name.
Yeah. Yeah, we...
I really love the name.
Because Ben's last name is Richardson. I quite like the alliteration of R and R, so we were like Riley Richardson, although we had to veto Riley because that's my boss's surname, but I really liked it.
I like Riley.
I just think work will think I'm sucking up if I call her Riley. It's such a lovely name. There was like Riley Ripley, I can't believe I'm going to tell this story, but I think I put it out on Twitter, so it's okay. Ben and I, during lockdown, would go for these long walks by the River Thames, because at the time we were living in Bermondsey.
Yeah.
So when you're allowed out for an hour a day, we walk along the river. And we were just talking about baby names. And we'd been watching the telly the night before, and Ben loves Ramesh Ranganathan, like, yes, loves him. And we were just joking. I said, your obsession has gone to new heights. Like, this is out of control. And he went, yeah, we might as well just name the baby after him. And yeah, I went, we're having a girl. We can't call her Ramesh. And he went, what about Romy? And I went, what? Oh no, I really like Romy. So it was an earnest discussion for about a month whether we would call her Romy, because we knew we didn't know we were having a girl, but if it was a girl, would we call her Romy. And in the end we had to discount it, because I went, I can't lie, like, if people say, why is she called Romy, I'm gonna have to go, she's named after Ramesh Ranganathan.
But he is amazing.
He is amazing.
What about my name, if I had another girl, was gonna be Romy.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. Oh, I like that. But yeah, Ray was on the shortlist. It was on the shortlist. And Ben rang me, because obviously, like I said, he had to go home an hour after she arrived. And the next morning he rang to check I was okay. And he went, I've been thinking about it, and I really think she's a Ray. And I just thought, I looked at her and I thought, yeah, that really, I don't know. Because people say, how do you decide on a name? A lot of people pick names out before the babies are even here, which I find a bit weird, because I think you've got to meet them and look at them first. Yeah. And then I thought, well, all babies look the same, so how will we know if she looks like a Ray or a Romy or a Ramesh or, you know. But I just suddenly knew. It was really weird. I was like, yeah, Ray, yeah. So Ray Richardson, although I did get a lot of stick on social media, because everyone's like, Ray me, like Do Ray me.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
She's going to take her, she's going to take her father's name. Like, I wouldn't do that to a child. So yeah, we came up with Ray Richardson, Ray Brenda Richardson. And Brenda is the name of a woman who really looked after Ben when he was growing up as a teenager, a family friend. So so it felt right. So lovely.
So how did you meet Ben?
I met Ben at a party. I mean, how, you know, 1990s is that?
Jesus,
and it was only a couple of years ago. Yeah, you know, when people met people in real life. So it was sort of a bit of a retro meet. A party my friend was throwing for another couple of friends of ours who had gone into remission from cancer, and she just threw a big celebratory party. And he was there with a mutual friend, and we got talking. And I don't know what it was, but he was really nice to me, offered to buy me a drink, and we were chatting. And I just remember he was walking out the bar, and I'm thinking, oh, I hope he walks past me so I can say goodbye. So obviously subtly positioned myself by the by the door.
Yeah.
And as he walked past, he was like, oh, bye. And I did the old touching of the arm. I'm not very good at flirting, but I know that if you reach out and touch the arm. So I touched his arm and said, oh, it was really nice to meet you. I hope I meet you again soon. And of course, little did I know, he was already all over it and had been saying to our friend Autumn, you've got to get me her number, you've got. But he played it really cool, so I had no idea. So I thought I was being mega subtle and just putting it out there, like, oh, maybe he will, maybe he won't. Funny. So yeah, so we met at a party, and then we went out on a first date. I think, was it the next week or the week after? Oh, actually, no, I gave him the runaround because I was really busy with work, going here, there and everywhere. And then when we went out for our first date, I always tease him about it because he took me for lunch. But what he didn't know was that the nice restaurant he took me to, the only menu they did that day was like an 8-course tasting menu. I mean, a bit much for a first date. I remember thinking, oh dear, oof, we're here for the afternoon, are we? But fortunately, we got on all right.
Aww.
He's a good one.
Where you are now.
I know.
Are you going to stick at one? Or are you going to have another one?
What? Fiancé?
Baby.
Oh.
No.
Blimey, it's taken me this long to get one. No, I don't know if I could sneak in two.
Come on.
I'm getting on a bit.
Never say never.
I think we're going to stick at one because we've got Ted who, as I said, is 8. And did I say he's 8 or is he 7? How old is it?
Seven. Oh, you said 7.
Baby brain is real 8 months on. Does it ever leave you? Do you always have baby brain?
Never.
It hasn't left me.
Oh. I think mine's terminal. And we've got Ted, who's amazing. So we've got one of each. It's one of those things where I've heard people say you just start to get your life back and then all of a sudden you have another baby and it all starts again. And I just think our family's so perfectly balanced now. We've got a boy, a girl. Ted loves his little sister. He's so gentle with her. And honestly, when he walks into a room, her face is just like the biggest smile. She doesn't react like that to me or her dad. But Teddy, it's like she looks at him and this unbelievable amount of love comes out of her little face. So I just think we're at such a sweet spot. We're gonna stick with what we've got.
Stick it too. Yeah, it's definitely. Nice.
Well, yeah. I think it depends what you want. I think if you're happy with one, it's easy. And yeah. You don't know what's going to... I mean, if you had preeclampsia, you don't know if something else might happen.
Exactly. There was always going to be the risk of that because of my age. And I had such
a... Is that what it is, then? There's more risk
risk when you're older. And but I had such a good pregnancy.
Multiple births when you're older.
Really?
Yeah. So you might get pregnant and end up with four.
Oh my God, can you imagine? You hear about that happening to people, can't you? Don't you? Oh, wow.
So, yeah, stick with what you got.
Yeah, I quit while I'm ahead, as it were. Quit while I'm ahead. But like I said, I had such a good pregnancy. Like, I had no morning sickness, full of energy. I exercised right up until we went into lockdown. You know, had a brilliant pregnancy. And then the preeclampsia just crept up. Crept up, which was such a shame. But, you know, sadly, it is one of the risks associated with older mums. So... I wouldn't say that should put anyone else off in terms of being...
God, no.
But for me, it's just, fast forwarding 2 years' time when I'm doing the sequel to this podcast with you and I'm like, I've got 5 kids now.
My brood.
Now, I might be on my second fiancé then if I have 5 kids.
No.
So how's it been, new baby and... reasonably new relationship, really, in lockdown?
Do you know what? Ben and I were talking about this a few months ago. Because our relationship is fairly new, we still really like each other.
Yeah.
How new is it?
8 months.
Gosh. Yeah, no. It's probably 2.5 years. In terms of... We moved fairly quickly. So, yeah, we just get on. It's, you know, you do... I talk to a lot of my friends and, you know, don't get me wrong, Ben and I wind each other up sometimes because, you know, he thinks I'm putting on baby brain now. It's been so long. But I'm quite disorganised. I'm quite scatty. When I'm at work, I'm on it. You know, nothing escapes me. But at home, it's almost like my brain goes into... you know, standby mode, and more so now I've had a baby, whereas Ben is so organized on it. He wants everything done yesterday, and I'm the complete opposite at the moment. Like I said, lockdown and maternity leave has turned me feral. It's just, you know, just don't worry about it, everything's fine. So the fact that we get on and the fact that we've got this amazing baby, I mean, we won the baby lottery. She is a good baby.
She's gorgeous.
Are there any bad babies? That's such terrible language to use, but she's just so happy, smiley, she's sleeping well, she's eating well. We've done so well. I think if it had been the other way around in lockdown, it would have been really testing. And then, you know, every other week we have Teddy thrown into the mix, and that's brilliant because it mixes it up for our house. You know, he's such a ball of energy, so fun. He's at the age where he can properly tell jokes now, laugh at himself, you know, appreciate Joe. He's just funny. He's a really funny, gregarious boy and really clever.
That's really nice that you have him so much.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, we'd have him more. But just the way it works, obviously Ben working full time and eventually me going back to work, and he goes to school around the corner from his mum, and we live about an hour away from his mum. So for us to have him anymore would be impractical. But we've got a good relationship with his mum, who's a brilliant mum to Teddy. So the fact that we can split it equally is brilliant.
Yeah.
And, you know, he goes from one home to the other home without looking back, without, you know, obviously he misses his mum or his dad, whatever house he's in, but it's seamless. And we're so lucky to have that. And that's just because he's got two loving homes. He's such a lucky boy. Oh God, it makes me sound like it's Little House on the Prairie round at mine.
But it's nice.
But you know, you've got to appreciate things when they're good.
Yeah, so, definitely.
So don't get me wrong, we're going through all the same things as other things. We, you know, we snipe at each other when we're in a bad mood, but we always go, look, it's lockdown, you know, let's just chill out. And you've just got to, you know, being in four walls all together can be testing. But
I would imagine it's really testing, because that tests any kind of relationship when you have a new baby. But then,
I I don't know anything else though, because I've not had a baby that's not been in lockdown. So, you know, I must admit, I had this idea of maternity leave being a lot more social than it is. So, you know, I always used to joke about, you know, coffee and cake. I'll be doing lots of coffee and cake and this and that and the other. And,
you know, baby classes.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just having coffee and cake on my own. Don't get me wrong. I'm not missing out on the calories, but I'm just not doing it with other mums. And also because, well, because the pandemic's at such a high, I don't really feel comfortable meeting people socially for walks. And I know that you are allowed to meet one other person for your mental health as much as anything else, but you know, I'm all right. I've got Ben, I've got Tech, we're fine. But I know there are other mums out there that are really struggling, and you know, blimey, you know, see people go for a walk. But you know, I've just felt a bit I don't know, I've just felt a responsibility to rein that kind of thing in.
No, I think it's about how you feel. It's not 100%. It's not about, and that's with everybody. And I think that you have to take your own responsibility, your own feelings into account. Otherwise it becomes very awkward as well when you do, you know, when you do meet people and you're not really comfortable with it.
Yeah, exactly. Think, like, let's go for a walk. I'm not really doing that at the moment.
This is not really very
fun. This is not for me at the moment. But you know, thank goodness for Zoom and stuff like that. Like, you know, I'm constantly on Zoom or phone calls or texts and stuff, so that's really helped. But yeah, missing out on baby classes and stuff. Seeing my mum's in a childcare bubble. Yeah.
That's lovely. How are your mum and dad?
Yeah, they're really good. I mean, bless mum, she missed out on all the latter stages of my pregnancy because of lockdown. Yeah. And when we could see each other, it was in the garden. And obviously, we had to social distance. So that was really hard because obviously she couldn't feel the bump. And, you know, I just felt... I mean, I felt bad because obviously I wanted her to share and all that. But I felt even worse for her, if you know what I mean. That's her first grandchild. But we've been really lucky that we've had breaks in between lockdowns where she's been able to spend time with us. And then forming this childcare bubble, because Ben's working and I'm still doing bits and pieces of work, even though I'm not a Sky at the moment. But it's just difficult, isn't it? You know, my dad misses Ray so much. Yeah, he doesn't see her. And, you know, we do FaceTime him every day, but it's not the same, is it? You just want to hug your grandchild. So that's really tough. Gosh.
Please God, it'll be over. Well, I know. So at least you'll be able to have more interactions.
Yeah, I mean, I've never been one to wish time away, but gosh, you know, I'm wishing this year away quickly. you know, to get some sort of, I mean, I know we're not going to be back to normal anytime soon, but just to get a sense where we can at least meet close family and, you know, not necessarily go out with all your mates and have big parties. I mean, that'd be great, but just to be able to see your close family.
Yeah,
they've had their first jabs, which is a step in the right direction.
Oh, brilliant. So. Parents have as well,
which so, just feels like a weight off your shoulders, doesn't it? Because you just want them to get that first jab. It feels like you're inching closer. So some good news.
Oh, it's been so lovely talking to you.
Nice to talk to you.
It's been a brilliant break in my day. It's like, oh, I'm gonna pop upstairs.
So who's got the baby now?
Baby's downstairs with daddy. Last time I checked, just before I came upstairs, she was having oh gosh, this sounds so middle class. Hummus on toast.
Oh, lovely.
Hummus on toast. And then, bless her, some lamb broccoli potato puree thing I knocked up.
Wow.
So.
Oh, nice.
You say that. I tasted it and it was a bit, ooh, let's see if she eats it. I'll probably go downstairs and it'll be smeared all over the walls.
Oh, yeah. Well.
The weaning stage is fun and messy.
Very.
I love a bit of hummus.
Oh, yeah.
That's the best thing when they're trying everything and getting it everywhere.
I was beating myself up too much at the beginning by getting out all the Annabelle Carmel books and cooking all her recipes, batch cooking, although I realised our freezer isn't big enough to batch cook. I had all this stuff and nowhere to put it.
Yeah.
So I was doing a lot of that, and Ben was like, just take the pressure off yourself, because it felt like I'd been a broadcaster and then left to run a bistro. It was constantly like, oh my word. And I'm not the most natural in the kitchen, so I find it really stressful. Ben says he always knows when I'm cooking because it's not because the appliances are going or anything like that. He can just hear all the huffing and puffing. So all of that's going on. And he's just like, give yourself a break. Give her some pouches. I'm like, no, not the pouches. And now every other day we do pouches.
Yeah, get them out.
I stop short of putting it straight in her mouth. It at least goes in a bowl and then on a spoon. That's the fun stage at the moment before I head back to the big bad world of work.
So how long have you got left? 4 months?
Yeah, I'm going to go back in June, so I'll have taken a year off.
Okay, nice.
I had all these aspirations of, I'll be back after 6 months, but my brain was in no state after 6 months to sort of go back and deal with big breaking news. You know, I couldn't remember where I left my slippers.
You really have to think a lot with your job.
Yeah, you have to be really sharp and on it. And I just felt like I was in a fog. So I just, I thought, I've got to be kind to myself and I'll give it a year.
Yeah.
And I just feel comfortable with that in terms of, we all know where we are. We'll have some kind of childcare in place. Hopefully the world will be a bit more normal, so it won't feel so strange going back to work. Just give my chance and my brain a chance to catch up. I don't feel bad admitting that either. I think stuff like that. But I actually felt like I can't cope. I couldn't cope with breaking news at the moment. Just need to build up to it. But I will be looking forward to going back, definitely.
I don't think I could ever do that. Like, honestly, my brain capacity, honestly, I think I'd just be like a rabbit in headlights.
Oh, it's one of those things, you get used to it. I think my first ever broadcast on Sky, I was like a rabbit in the headlights because it comes at you so fast. And coming from regional TV where, you know, you spend all day working up to a half hour broadcast in the evening. So, you know, it was a bit more relaxed, whereas you're on air for 4 hours, anything could happen anywhere in the world. Those first couple of months, I think I was a nervous wreck, but you just ease into it, and you just, it's always like brain training.
Do you read from auto cue?
So a lot of our links are written, but if it's breaking news, you don't have any auto cue. You could be talking for 4 minutes, you could be talking for 4 hours with no auto cue. I mean, the auto cue is there to make it all clean. So, you know, you link into your next guest, and then when you interview the guest, it's all your own questions. It's not scripted. But it's just to make it nice and smooth on air. Nobody wants to see you sort of, you know, because you need time for your brain to think about who you're interviewing. So being able to read the link and get their name right and nail it before you go into them, it's really good to give your brain time to look at what's coming up. You could be, you know, talking politics 1 minute, an earthquake the next, and then you have to talk to somebody who's survived something awful. There's so many different gear changes.
It must be so interesting.
Oh god, nice. I love my job. My job, it's so interesting. No day's the same. Although having said that, you know, it's all been COVID for the last however long, but you know, no day's the same, and I am really looking forward to going back, but I just need to make sure I'm in the right headspace to do it properly, because there'd be nothing worse than, I'm sure I'll be nervous leaving Ray, excited to go back to it, and you just don't want to mess it up in your first week back, do you?
Yeah, it'll be a mix of feelings, but I think you've had a nice amount of time, so it'll be a nice, because it is nice to have a break. It is nice to be doing something else and not just kids 24/7.
Actually, do you know what? I've enjoyed maternity leave more than I thought I would. Everybody thought I would really struggle because I've always been really busy, had loads of stuff on, work, socialise. Like, everything's 100 miles an hour. And everything just stopped, what with lockdown, the pandemic and maternity leave. Ben really thought I'd struggle. But it turns out I can go from super busy to sloth-like in the blink of an eye. Turns out I'm actually quite good at it. Although maternity's a different kind of work, isn't it?
It's not a complete break. It's, you appreciate the rest because it is so full on, don't you?
But did you two get angry? Well, not angry, that's the wrong word, but if somebody said to you, enjoy your break, somebody said that to me on the phone the other day and I went, break? This is not a break. I think I was up to my eyes in mashed potato at the time or something, but I was like, oh, this is not a break.
People have no idea what it's like being a parent at home with children. It's that argument, isn't it, when the man goes out to work and mum stays home with the kids and they both hate each other because, you know,
he's
both
the most tired, the other one's
got the easiest, but you don't know what it's like being at home. It's more the mental capacity of constantly having to be on and responsive to someone else whilst trying to still think about everything else you've got to do as well. Yeah. I think that's the thing that...
And with a baby, when they don't differentiate between night and day, that's really tough.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I've got so much respect for stay-at-home mums. I mean, yeah. stay-at-home mums, even that term is all yeah. wrong. It's like, yeah. you know, they're not at home with their feet up. It is 24/7 graft.
Yeah. You go to work for a break. Like my cousin yeah. started back part-time at her job because she was like, I need to have a break.
Yeah.
from the kids.
And it's, don't name yeah. her because her boss will be like, what's she doing? Yeah. What's she doing at work to have a break? but yeah, no, I'll be looking forward to going back when my mind is sharp and ready. And yeah, like you said, for a little break of routine, should we call yes. it that? A little break yeah. of the routine.
Oh, it's been lovely. Thank you so much.
So nice to meet you. Really nice to meet you, Harry. Obviously, after listening to you girls. And
yes.
Yeah, really nice to meet you. And
nice to meet you.
Hope it's been good. Like I said, baby brain ramblings.
It's been lovely.
Up here in my attic room.
It's been great.
No, it's been lovely. Aww. And hopefully, maybe we'll meet up with the kids when the world goes back to normal.
I'd love that.
Come and visit South Woodford with Michelle.
Oh, my God, Michelle.
Or we can meet up somewhere.
Yeah, no, that'd be really lovely. Yeah. Oh, with my little Ray Ray.
Yeah, I can't wait.
All right,
this
girls.
So
wonderful.
All right,
love
you.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi. Well, I hope you enjoyed that. I did. But yeah, it's nice. I like finding out about people. I'm very nosy, I've discovered. Well, I think I've always known. But I love talking to people. That's why I love doing this podcast, because I just like finding out what people have done with their lives. Makes me feel a bit better. Well, doesn't make me feel better, not like but it just, that's my entertainment. Do you know what I mean? Like, I live, one of my close friends is an actor, and he goes to these fancy parties and texts me who's there, and it's great because I live my life through him, because I can get all excited even though I'm not there. It still makes me happy. So yeah, that's a little insight to my sad existence. But, oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, God, I think I'm going insane with this bloody lockdown. I hope you are well, and I hope you have a lovely rest of your day, whatever you're doing. Please subscribe to our podcast if you don't already. Oh, this might be the first time you've ever listened, because you might be one of Sarah Jane's fans. Well, you're in for a treat, because we've got 50 other episodes, or 49 other episodes. I think this is number 50. Or is it number 49? 49. Well, anyway, we've got a lot of other episodes, and we talk about a lot of different things. So there's something for everyone. But check us out, Mum and Mama podcast. We're Mum and Mama Pod on the socials. But if you subscribe to our podcast, then it just turns up on your phone every Sunday, like magic. And you can listen when you want. But then you never miss an episode. It doesn't really take up anything on your phone. If I were you, I'd just subscribe to it, and then even if you don't really want to listen to it, but then at least you know the option's always there. Know what I mean?
Work.
But yes, I hope you enjoyed it, and hopefully we'll see you again.
Work.
And yeah, see you next week.
Work.
Stay safe and sane. Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.